all those things that you tell yourself and how you interact are a part of how you structure your finances. And if people are telling you, you need to do this, you need to build this budget, you need to do it this way, this is what you're supposed to do, but it doesn't fit who you are, like it's just gonna be a complete disconnect. And you're just gonna feel guilty all the time, or like you've failed all the time.
Welcome to the Visibility Strategies for Women Entrepreneurs podcast, where we empower female business owners to step boldly into the spotlight and claim the recognition they deserve. I'm your host, Tori Barker. I'm passionate about helping women like you transform your visibility into tangible business success. Each week on this show, we'll dive deep into game-changing strategies, share inspiring success stories from women who've mastered their visibility, and offer practical, actionable advice you can implement immediately. Whether you're just starting your entrepreneurial journey, pivoting your business model, or ready to elevate your existing presence to new heights, you'll discover effective approaches to create exciting opportunities and expand your reach. So let's harness the power of strategic visibility and grow your business together. Welcome to the show. Hi, everyone. Thanks so much for joining me back on the podcast. I am so excited to introduce my guest, Linda Grizzly. Linda, how are you today?
I'm doing good today. How are you, Tori?
Doing awesome. Well, I'm excited for you to tell us a little bit about who you are and the journey that got you to where you are today.
Well, the journey would be a really long story, but I'll try to make it short. So I am a personal finance expert. I do public speaking on financial wellness. I have courses. I'm a coach. I do all things around money, except for give you investment advice or make a financial plan for you. I am a CFP and I have a master's degree in financial services, but I left financial planning to serve a different market and help people that feel like they're behind and maybe aren't ready for a traditional advisor now. And the story of how I got there is, I'm just going to start from when I was a financial advisor and how I came to where I am, rather than go all the way back in time for all the different, all the different recreations of myself. But I left a corporate job and I left without knowing what I was doing next. I just needed to get out of where I was. And I was looking at starting my own financial planning business again, because I had had one before, or plugging in somewhere and just rebuilding my book of clients. And, you know, I just, everyone was like, you know, oh, chasing high net worth clients. Like you should be, you know, reaching for these people and these people have the most money. And I'm like, but what about the people who I always was? What about the teen mom who was, you know, struggling and balancing a checkbook and filing taxes before she was old enough to vote? What about the mom of three who was just trying to hold everything together and really didn't know much about saving or investing or anything at all? Or the divorced mom who was in chaos trying to figure it out, and like nobody would talk to me like I was a person, and I wasn't really getting any help. Like, yeah, they'll sell me an investment, but they aren't giving me like, this is what you need to do. This is where you need to go. This is how it works. So yeah. I wanted to be that person that I needed at all of those different stages in my life, and not the person who's helping people that have a bunch of money. Mm-hmm. And so that's why I switched from financial planning into doing education and coaching and speaking, because I want to have a bigger impact and help people that I feel like really need the help.
Yeah. Well, it's like the phrase that people use, serve the person you once were. Right. And I hear that often in entrepreneurship, because a lot of times what we are doing is we're helping that person that we were 5 years, 10 years ago, because if it wasn't for, you know, things that we learned along the way to get us to where we are, or we want to help speed up the process for people who were like us, you know, instead of them going through those trials and tribulations, that we can get them a step ahead a lot quicker because of the experiences that we've lived. So I love that direction. And like you said, you could have gone for the high net worth or the high, you know, spending clients, but it doesn't fill your cup. It doesn't fill the purpose and the drive that you have for what you do. So I love that you went that direction.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. I think, and everything you just said, I think that the best way somebody ever explained it to me, as far as like helping the person you once were, is like, let's say you go to do a maze and you're trying to do the maze and, you know, you're walking into the obstacles and they got to turn around and go the other way. Well, wouldn't it be a lot easier if you just had someone who had been through the maze who could just take you through it without hitting all those obstacles and you having to figure it out on your own?
Yeah. Absolutely. I love that analogy because it's like so true. I mean, mazes are crazy for first off, right? But if somebody would have told you turn right, it'll save you, you know, 10 minutes on your maze process. Why not use that guide? So I love that you're the guide in that role for people. So yeah. Well, I want to touch on this phrase that you often use, which is you can't build a life you love on a budget you hate. So what do you mean by that? And how does that change the way that women think about money?
So what I mean by it is that you have to take into account your personality with money, your money personality, who you are, how you interact with money, what the stories are that you tell yourself, what your emotions are around it. All of these things go in to how you spend, how you save, right? Whether you feel guilty if you spend, you know, whether you think you suck at money or you're bad at saving, you know, all those things that you tell yourself and how you interact are a part of how you structure your finances. And if people are telling you, you need to do this, you need to build this budget, you need to do it this way, this is what you're supposed to do, but it doesn't fit who you are, like it's just going to be a complete disconnect and you're just going to feel guilty all the time or like you failed all the time.
Yeah.
So the idea behind it is to set up a structure that, or a framework, I shouldn't say structure because it's a framework that allows you to be you and understand who you are and take care of that person at the same time as, you know, maybe doing some of the other things that you should, right?
Yeah. And you built a framework, if I'm not correct, right? The me money framework. And that's a mindset first approach in finances, or tell us a little bit more about how that framework works.
Yeah. So it's actually a financial strategy, but it creates a mindset shift. It's like the putting yourself as a line item on your budget, but it's not really a budget because I teach you how to figure out what your budget is or what your cash flow, it's really cash flow. It's not budgeting. So let me explain a little bit further because it gets that sounds kind of confusing, but me money is taking an amount of money every paycheck, every month, however you want to structure it, and putting that into a bucket or that is just for you to spend on yourself, unapologetically, without answering to anyone, not even yourself, without guilt, without shame, without, you know, your partner telling you like you spent on that, you know, because they get the same, right? They get it too. If you're in a partnership, if you're not, that's fine. It still helps. So the idea is if you have this amount of money that's set aside that you can spend on yourself, it allows you to, let's say you're a spender, right? And you spend a lot of money, then it allows you to say like, hey, do I really need this thing? And if I buy this thing, I might have to say no to something later. How bad do I really want it? So it allows you to give yourself a framework to ask, is my money worthy of this? What do I value? Right. So it keeps you in line there within that framework. And let's say that you're a saver and you're a person who feels guilty spending money on themselves, like then you have the money already set aside. And if you want something and you already have it and you haven't spent it, and you know that if you spend it, you might say no to something else, but you still really want it, then you can just spend it. You can just buy it. Yeah. So the whole thing came about originally, two things. First of all, when we do financial planning, when people would come to me when I was a financial planner, the first thing you do is go over cash flow, what's coming in and what's going out. And you list all of the responsibilities, all the responsibilities that are going in. And then you might say like, well, we spend this on going out to eat or we spend this on vacation, but there's never like a line item that says, this is my money that I just do for me. It's never there, right? So that's one thing. The other thing is that I put my husband on a budget. This is how it started. So I handle the finances. I'm like, he doesn't understand how much money he's spending. He's like, it's just whatever. It's like, it's not that much. I'm like, yeah, but when you add it all together, it's a lot.
Yeah.
So I put him on a budget. I was like, I'm going to give you this amount of money and you have to live within the means of this money. And at the time I didn't call it me money, but it is his me money. And, you know, if you want to go on a fishing trip or a golf trip, like you have to save up the money to go on the trip. You can't just like be like, oh, okay, I need to take money from somewhere else. Like, no, you have to, you know, in this framework of just this one bucket of money, you have to manage this. And so I thought he was going to be, feel like restricted or feel like I was controlling him, but he wasn't. He just said, when I came back to him, he was like, no, it's fine. I feel like I'm making better choices because now, like if I want a golf shirt, because I have thousands of other golf shirts, like I'm like, do I really need the golf shirt when I'm either saving the money on a golf trip? He's like, so I just saved the money for the golf trip. I didn't buy the shirt. If I didn't have that framework, I would have just bought the shirt and the trip. Like I wouldn't have thought about like, do I really? And it's not about like, you know, we talk about wants and needs and whatever, but if you don't have a framework around it, if you're just saying like, do I want this? Do I need this?
Yeah.
And you don't have that framework. Like, how do you really decide? But when you have the money there and you know, like it's there, then when you're deciding, it's real. It's not like, just like, is this a want or a need? Like, and then flipping it around, I gave myself the same budget, the same me money, same amount of me money. And I was the one who was always like, felt guilty when I would spend money on myself. I was the one who'd be like, I can't afford to go on a girls trip. Like he'd be going on fishing and golfing. And I'd be like, I can't go, you know? And because I always felt like I should be saving it. I should putting it in for retirement. I should be, you know, whatever. And so now I had this money and I was doing the same thing. And one day I was there and I had these little sample packets of this face stuff that I picked up from a place that does facials. And I was like, oh, this stuff is amazing. And I was like using it sparingly. And I'm like, oh, I'd never spend this much money on myself. This stuff's expensive. And then like this light bulb goes off and I'm like, wait a minute, I have the money. It's already there sitting in my account because I haven't spent it. And I could do this. I could buy this stuff.
Yeah.
And so I did. I bought the whole thing. I bought the nighttime, the daytime, like, and I love it. And I'm like, I wish I would have done this years ago. I remember being in my 20s and putting like some face serum on my wish list that my ex-mother-in-law would buy me. And she would always be like, this feels weird. I'm like, yeah, but I would never spend that money on myself. Like, it's something that I want, but I would never spend that. And now I'm like, I'm like second half of my 50s. I'm like, finally can spend money on myself without having. So that's how it started. And it was like this mind shift, both for my husband and for me with completely different money personalities. Yeah. And so once I started having other people implement it, I realized that it works no matter what your money personality. And it's super simple to do. It's not like a complicated budget. There's a simple way to figure out how much your me money should be. And then like a more complicated way to figure it out. But it's a simple strategy, financial strategy, but it's totally a mindset shift.
What I love about that is oftentimes for women specifically, we won't, like you said, we won't use the money that will help us with self-care or things that we have been waiting for. Like we really want those, you know, headphones, or we want the purse, or we want to go, you know, wine tasting, whatever it might be. We just say, oh, you know, we'll spend that on the kids, or we'll save that for retirement, or we'll put that in this bucket. But no, this gives you that opportunity to say, this is for me, right? And when I have that me money, you don't feel guilty because you've already set it aside. You've kind of already planned ahead and know that it's set aside for you. So it's like a gift, almost gifting yourself.
Yeah.
What I love about it too, is it's interesting. I had in business, like I think about the business and personal finance, right? So there's differences in when you think about the two perspectives. So for me as a business owner, you know, I've learned the profit first, you know, read the book about profit first and how you allocate certain percentages of your money and revenue for certain avenues of business. You know, you've got your expenses and your profit and your taxes and all those things. You've got these buckets, but I hadn't really put that into play or thought about it from a personal perspective, right? Like, you can do the same thing with your personal finances. You've got your expenses for your family. You've got your me money for me, for your spouse, you know, even kids, you can have me money for the kids. That would be a great way to incorporate, like, you've got to save up in this account so that you can get the things that you want. I love being able to apply it not only from business, but to personal life, because I think that's really, really impactful. And just kind of, like you said, it's a mindset shift. When you look at it from that perspective too.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And like, so I had a client who was telling me that she gives her daughter who's in college money. She's like, oh, I give my college daughter some me money. So she has money to spend and whatever. And then she starts talking about it. And then she says, you know, but then I saw she had something in her Amazon cart and I was like, don't waste your money on that. And like, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, okay, so here's the thing. Like you gave her this money and you need, like, she gets to spend this money. If she buys this thing that's in her Amazon cart, she gets to decide if it's of value to her or not. You don't get to decide. That's the whole point of me money.
Yeah.
Like, so if you're going to do it, you got to do it because that's how we learn to make values-based decisions. Is this worthy of my money? And maybe that is something that's worth it to her.
Yeah.
You know, there's a popular financial person out there who has a show that's like, can I afford it? It's this thing where people call in, they say, can I afford it? And there's one particular episode that I listened to, and it was about this woman called in and she wanted this pair of designer shoes. I think the shoes were like $700. And she was like, my husband says I can't, like, can I buy these shoes? And then, you know, the financial person asked, like, well, how much do you make? What do you have in savings? Whatever. And then the financial person's like, no, you can't buy the shoes. Like, and I'm sitting there and I'm like, no, yes, you can buy the shoes. Because if that's what you really want, if you pay yourself your me money and you have that and you save up and you have that $700 and that's what you want to spend it on, you can.
Mm-hmm.
But it might be that when you get there, you might be like, you know, do I really want to spend $700 on these shoes or would I rather do something else? Like maybe I could do a whole weekend to get away for $700 somewhere. Like then you get to choose the value. Somebody else is choosing for you. So here this woman is. And she's letting her husband and some other financial guru tell her whether or not she can buy the shoes. But she shouldn't be having somebody else tell her that. She should be telling herself that because she should be saving her money and setting it aside and deciding, do I value this enough to spend my me money? Is it worthy of that?
Yeah. Why do you think there's so much shame or guilt around money? Where does that stem from?
Oh, gosh. Because everybody's always telling us what we should do. You should do this. You should do that. And it's not just with money. It's in our careers, in our lives. It's being a mom. It's being a daughter. It's being, you know, everything, a spouse, everything that we are. There's all the things that we should do. And we always feel like if we're not doing those things that we're somehow failing. But I always say that the person that needs your acceptance the most is you. And the person that you're becoming and the person that you once were, all versions of you need your acceptance.
Yeah.
And understanding who you are and why you do the things that you do and having introspection is part of that.
Yeah. I love that. And, you know, I think one of the other things you talk about is like compassion, right? Having clarity and compassion and empowering yourself with your money. What does it look like for women when they show up with that mindset for themselves and for their finances and for their business? What does it look like when they show up in their business that way?
It looks like relief because the load of feeling like they failed or feeling like they're behind or feeling like they should know more or have done more, is behind them because when you meet them where they are and you say like, it's okay where you are. You are where you are and you can't change the past. All you can do is move forward. Yeah. And if you're having that conversation at that point, the person has already made a decision to move forward and to do something differently. And that's what matters the most.
Mm-hmm. And so for the women who feel behind, what's a first step that they can take for their own self-trust and building, healthy mindsets around money?
Meet themselves with compassion, like what we just talked about, and just say, okay, this is the first day of the rest of my life. I'm not necessarily behind. I'm just ready to step up and be the next version of me, right? Because otherwise you can just wallow in being behind and stay there forever. Or you can say, you know what? I am behind and it's time for me to move forward.
No matter what stage of life, what age you are, I think that's another stigma too, is women feel like, you know, I'm in my 40s, I'm in my 50s, I should have this already figured out. And it's like, No, maybe this is just your time, right? This is when it was meant to be for you to make this shift or to change your perspective or to go down a new path for your career or life or whatever it might be. I think, like you said, you know, accept where you are, meet yourself where you're at and move forward with that conviction, knowing that you're headed in the right direction.
Yeah, absolutely. I went back to school and got my bachelor's degree when I was 49. I got my master's degree over 50. Like, you know, recreation and just obviously trying to, you know, become a bigger, better person with everything that I do.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, Linda, it has been amazing chatting with you. I feel like there's been some advice that just kind of gives you that slight shift in your perspective, right? And really thinking about how you use your money, how you think about your money, and how you can move forward in your life and your business to become better. How can people get in touch with you if they want to learn more about you?
Best place to find me is just my website, lindagriz.com, LINDAGRIZ.com, because from there you can find all of my social media links. You can find information on my resources page, some freebies and money personality quiz. If you want to figure out what yours is, there's a bunch of good stuff on there.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much. It's been a pleasure chatting with you. And I hope that people listening are going to take just a little piece of advice that they can apply into their life and reach out to you if they have other questions, they want to learn more.
Yeah. Thanks so much for having me as a guest, Tori.